Good morning. I'm going to rearrange myself here, try to get set up. This is interesting. See some familiar faces. I am a native. Years ago, I went to Exeter High School, and I went to this church, went to the youth group, actually. My friend Jeff Perry, that's right there. Me and him used to be skaters, and he talked me into going to church here. Next thing I know, I'm in the youth group trying to escape my situation with my family, and the next thing I know, you guys are sending me off to Bible college in Oklahoma City called Mid-America, and I thought that was kind of strange in itself, but full circle, being here years later and talking at this pulpit, is this a divine joke? But I am thank you, honored to be here. I thank you, Pastor Brandon. What an amazing man, just to give up his pulpit, to share his pulpit, he told me this morning. And I am definitely honored, and I'm kind of honored in a surprising way, because I thought that a man from his own hometown, a prophet from his own hometown, doesn't get honor. But thank you guys for having me here. Yeah, I'm from street cred is, I have Exeter High School street cred and went to Mid-America. Then after Mid-America, funny thing happened though, I was went into a great rebellion of my own. And I found myself just going into the world and kind of skipping along my dad's footsteps. And I ended up in Las Vegas, the last place I wanted to be. And that's actually the place I got saved, was in Las Vegas. And I ended up going back to college, and my friend wasn't, my mentor that encouraged me to read the scripture wasn't impressed that I went to Bible college. He goes, well, maybe you should read the Word of God. And so I remember reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and said, man, I need to follow Christ. And I ended up going back to the getting into the ministry, and ended up at Ventura County Rescue Mission for 10 years. And I was a chaplain, and I saw great things happen there by the Lord's hand. Funny thing is, after 10 years, I was in a place, a funny place, and my friend introduced me to survivors of the abortion holocaust, and I was already convicted about what was going on in our land of this great genocide, this great holocaust that's been going on for 50 years. 65 million babies have been slaughtered in the womb. And I've seen my friend charge in the pro-life movement, and he pulled me into the movement. And I was volunteering for 6 months, and 6 months later, it was turned over to me, and I became the outreach director, and I've been doing it for the last 2 years. Survivors of the abortion holocaust, who we are, can you, next slide? This is who we are. We are actually, Survivors is a youth-based pro-life activism and apologetic Christian ministry. We exist to empower and equip the rising generation to end abortion. How? By engaging and shifting the culture. And I'm going to talk more about that later, but that's who I am. We are youth-based, we are Christ-centered, and we are trying to end this genocide in our backyard. And so today, before we get into any of that, I always feel like if somebody's going to share their pulpit, I need to feed their sheep. And I would ask you to turn to Romans 12 as we look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Romans 1 through 2, this is the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says, now I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name. We recognize that you are the God of gods, the only God, the one who made heavens and earth, Lord, and this world that we stand on today is only by your hand. Our existence, Lord, we live, breathe, and move and know that you are God. And we thank you, Lord, even though we have fallen short and we're finite beings, you've given us a way to you. through the blood sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that truth. I thank you for this church. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us today through your word. We thank you for your word, Lord, that we do not have to guess what your will is. We don't have to go around wondering what you have for our life. But Lord, you have laid it out perfectly, Lord, and you've given us a helper to understand. Give us better understanding today and give us encouragement within our being, Lord, to love you more than ourselves, because that's what you called us to do. You are the creator and we are the creation, Lord, and we give you thanks for life. In Jesus' name, amen. So you ever ask that question, I know you all have, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? It's one of those questions we ask, start asking in high school, and it kind of continues on as we move down the road, doesn't it? What is the will of God for my life? Who am I going to marry? School, job, ministry I want to get involved in? What is it that God wants me to do is often the question in confusion and desperation. But the better question is not what the will of God is for my life. The better question is, what is the will of God? You see the difference? What is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God? There is a difference, because the first one is self-focused, and the second one is God-focused. Remember what John the Baptist said when he was being questioned. He was being questioned about his ministry and letting Jesus' ministry blow up in front of him and saying, how can you let this happen? He said, he must, talking about God himself, increase, but I must decrease. And then it goes on right after that. He says, he who is from above is above all. Given us a focus of what our focus should be. Given us a right perspective. The Apostle Paul reminds us as believers to continue to shift our focus from my will to God's will. Me will to God's will. A funny thing of me will, I brought that up yesterday. It reminded me of like, me will, it's like I'm a pirate. And that's what we're often like doing, is being like a pirate saying me will be the case, right? When actually we as Christians are called to look for God's will in every place that we exist, breathe, and move. The Apostle Paul presents a key aspect in this passage. And it's right in the middle of it. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. See, the key aspect is about worship. What are you worshiping if you want to figure out what will you are following? Because isn't that the confusion? Sometimes I think I'm following God's will, and down the road I found myself, actually, the whole time I've been living out my own will in my own flesh. So remember worship. Worship isn't just corporate worship where we come here and sing and lift our hands, right? A lot of times people don't understand there is a distinction, a big distinction. That is a part of worship. We do come here and praise God together. We assemble together because it is our duty to worship together as an outward expression of our lives. But we are also called to what? Public worship in every area of life. We're not supposed to compartmentalize, but often we do. We compartmentalize our worship time with the me time. Every area of our life is called to trust God. And in this passage, we see that Paul is calling us to what? Trust God in four ways to live out this worship. We're supposed to present our hearts. We're supposed to actually give our hearts to God, give our minds to God, give our body to God, and give our will to God, always. So the first point, giving my heart to God in worship. As we see, Paul says here, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. I appeal to you is actually, in the New King James, you have the word beseech you. I beseech you, which I have no idea what that means because I've never said that. I think I might have said that when Jeff sneezed one time. But beseech is beyond my vocabulary, but it does bring a deep theological meaning, which says, I appeal to you. I actually come alongside to help you. And as you're going to see, this is chapters 12 and verse 15 and 16, or chapters 15 and 16, you see the same word, I appeal to you, which turns into I beg you, and then I urge you is the last one. So what is he saying here? Well, this urging is that he's urging the inner man to do something. And the same word is used in Scripture about the comforter of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to what? Encourage us, to urge us. So a better way of saying this would be, I am now coming alongside your heart and soul to beg and plead with you in urgency. A message. A message of what? Well, first he says, therefore, referring to what he said before. Chapters 1 through 12 is a big therefore, which is the first point. The therefore points to the next part, which is by the mercies of God. The mercies of God is laid out in chapters 1 through 12 of Romans. And we're going to read every chapter right now. Okay, let's warm up to each other. We will. I'm kidding. The mercies of God are laid out. And it's basically know God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul opens up in chapters 1:17. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And what he's saying is that this gospel that I'm getting ready to lay out is your power, is the power, the very thing you need for salvation to save your soul. For every person, every native, every tongue that ever existed in history, it is the only way because it is the power of God. But this is the thing. Mercy actually means, theologically, you're not going to get what you deserve. God has mercy on you. And so this power of the salvation, to understand it completely and fully, you got to understand what kind of mercy has been shown to you. And so he lays it out right away. He says, the wrath of God is upon everyone who denies and suppresses the truth in their unrighteousness before a holy God and denies him. And it goes so far to say that in our natural state, we are all under this wrath. Why? Because we have what? We have been given over to our lust and to our passions because we don't recognize a holy God. And we see how far this separation from God goes as he lays it out in chapter 3, and he says, no one is righteous, not one. So basically, no one, not you, not I, are righteous, but we all fall short of the glory of God. And here's the penalty of that. And this is the bad news, right? For the wages of sin, of not being righteous, is what? Death. Death, a separation from God for all eternity. Now that's the heavy bad news that Paul lays out just before he gives this wonderful great news and says, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the grace received. You are given something you do not deserve. This free access into heaven through Christ's blood, the only way for any believer to enter and have access. This is the good news. It goes farther than that, and Paul explains this great salvation that we have grasped and have been given through faith, faith alone. He says in chapters 8, nothing can rob us from his love because of what Christ has done. Not even yourself could get robbed from this great gift of salvation, if you believe. Nothing. And then he goes in farther to say, this is how true it is. And he reaches way back into the Old Testament, and he lays it out and says, They were waiting for this mystery in a Messiah, and it has shown up in the person of Christ Jesus. For what purpose? To glorify God in all of who he is, because that's what it comes down to. So salvation is for the soul first, right? The heart of man is needs to be based in truth. And this is where worship begins. It begins with the gospel by believing in faith. And this creates a true heart of worship. The worshiper was once worshiping self, worshiping the world, worshiping Satan himself. Didn't know it, maybe, but he was. Until he became born again by this precious word to know the true Creator and his Savior. Worship starts with the soul, and it moves to worship in God. Worship, it moves you to worship God with an instrument. Because now you have praises on your lips to praise this one who has saved you. How do I do it? How do I make this melody in this tune? Well, with an instrument. Tim, I don't play an instrument. I don't play guitar. I might play the spoons. No, this instrument is the instrument of your body. Second point, my body is the instrument to worship God. That's what it says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice is now the command. Give your bodies over. Lay your whole body out on the altar before a holy God that has saved you. Yes, salvation is a free gift. You can't earn it. But God commands, once he's given you something so precious, now you need to grab onto the salvation and hold on to it, because it is yours. Lay your body, the one body that he has given you, on the altar before a holy God. This is in reference, this sacrifice language is in reference to the Old Testament, as laying out your whole body is like they would lay out a sacrificial lamb, a sacrificial ox, a bull, turtle doves. These are references of everyday sacrifices that the Levitical priesthood would have to bring before a holy God just to cover the sins up for a time, right? Aren't you glad Pastor Brandon doesn't have to offer up your sacrifices every week and a bloody sacrifice and a bloody mess as it is? But this is what it's referencing. But now in the New Testament, something has shifted, but it's still the same because it's based on the mercies of God in Christ. But now there's a new living sacrifices with our bodies. Our bodies, metaphorically, or it's actually kind of literal and kind of physical, but there's a spiritual aspect because like the priest, like the sacrifices that we took to the temple, to the priest, and a real sacrifice, we now take a real temple, a real priest, and a real sacrifice. And that looks like this. My body is the temple. I am a priest. And Christ is the ultimate priest. I am now a sacrifice based on the blood of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice. I lay my whole life out ready to die for this message in every area of life. It is spiritual that we are now dying to ourselves and our own passions daily. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I repent. Lord, draw me close to Christ. Lord, help me. I know I am saved, but I need to die to myself and be alive to the Spirit so I can walk in your good presence. Christ has used these metaphors before, temple, priest, sacrifice. He called himself the living water, the bread, the door, the way. But now he's calling these bodies, these temples, to glorify God as a living sacrifice. In every area of life, we are called to use our bodies to do what? Glorify God. Glorify God in every area and not compartmentalize our worship, our sacrifice. And what do I mean by that? Well, you have the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of self. And I'm sorry, I wish it just happened just like that, that we would just all wake up as soon as we were born again and I just started living for God fully and without question. But we still have this battle, like we're talking about self. And you can even fool yourself into thinking that you are doing things for God and building a kingdom for God, but you're actually doing it by your own arm of flesh. It happens all the time. Treating God like he's a genie in the sky, and all your blessings really become your possessions for you, and you grab onto it with a closed fist. Holding onto it with a closed fist, saying, mine, and controlling it, and not giving it up at all, and never opening it up. But that's what my kingdom looks like, even if you're in ministry. Right, Pastor Brandon? I was amazed. He just said to me, he goes, Tim, I am honored to share my pulpit with you this morning. This is the way this guy's been since I met him. I'm like, who are you? Who are you that God has brought you to this place? But that's a man that's what? He's like, it's not mine. It's just something that's been given to me. And I'm ready, and I've been entrusted. I'm ready to share it with those that God puts in my path. Open fist is still, we get great gifts. We get good things from God himself, and he gives us things, but we're supposed to share it. As God gives us more, we give it away. And then we find out God gives us more. But this is a faith. But when you close it, what happens? You hold it in tight, and you start to act like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, and you say, mine, mine, my precious. It's mine. In which it's an inward decay and destruction that starts to happen. Yes, it can happen to Christians. It does. But I'm encouraging you today to open your hands and worship, because that's what true worship is with the body. The body is called to worship. And my question to you, are you guys worshiping in every area, time, resources, and money? Uh-oh. Time, resources, and money. I just touched your golden calf, and I've come close. And the golden calf is a thing that people worship. And the one, time, is definitely one of my idols and my resources. But the money thing starts to make you close your fist. And I challenge you guys today, where are you with your tithing? This isn't, Pastor Brandon didn't plan on me saying this, but I thought about it this morning. Tithing is definitely one of those things we have a hard time with. And we all know what tithing means, but it is between you and the Lord. But where are you with it? What are you doing with it? Are you doing a closed fist? Because what you're doing with tithing is really a thing of the heart. If that's where you're not starting, you're going to be closed fist and closed kingdom of self in every area of your life. In your Christian walk. What you're saying, basically, is it's my body, my choice. You see what I did there? My body, my choice. Because that's really what it is, and that's the message of the secular world. But Christians aren't called to say, my body, my choice. Our body, even though God has given us a body, and we use our bodies to make lots of money, little resources, whatever it is, it's still a gift. How are you expressing that gift back to God and trusting that you're giving it to God and it's God's? Because God is so good when you do this open fist. And I wish I would have learned this years ago. I'm preaching to myself right now, because my Christian walk would have been so much more fruitful. If I would have done this, my mom was always on me. Tim, are you giving? Are you giving your tithe? Are you giving? Yeah, mom. Yeah, man. As soon as that man up there gains my trust, I'll give. No. All I did is procrastinated. So I don't bring that to put a guilt trip on you guys, but I'm challenging your walk with God. Closed fist, open fist. Your talents, your relationships. So this leads us to, how am I going to do this, Tim? Because I have a greedy heart. And I'm not going to tell you, but I have a greedy heart. I should confess it.
And you should. I do. I just did. What do you do? Well, it goes to our third point. We need to give my mind. I need to give my mind to be transformed by the Word of God for worship. And that's why Paul goes into this part. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And there's that word, conformed. He says, do not be conformed. And this word is supposed to mean an outward expression to match an inward reality of a new heart. But actually, the way he's using it, he's saying, don't be conformed, because you're supposed to be being conformed from a new heart, but don't be conformed from the outwardness of the world. The world, the age, or the system and beliefs that are going on around you. Don't get fooled by these things. For instance, let's just say a couple of them. Jesus is not God, he's just a man. Jesus is just a prophet, and that's all. Do not get caught in these lies. Do not get caught on abortion is healthcare. My body, my choice. But how do we guard from being conformed? How do we be? Well, he gives us the answer right here. It says, do not be conformed by this world and its systems, but be transformed. Transformed is the word metamorphosis. And that means being transformed from the inside out. And you've seen the same word when Jesus went up to pray on a mountain. And what happened is apostles went with him, a couple of his apostles, and I think it was Peter, John, and James. But Peter saw Jesus transfigure right in front of him, and he's like, okay. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes became white as light, and Elijah and Moses shows up, and he's all, okay, I'm building an altar of sacrifice to you, you, and you. And all of a sudden, from heaven, you hear from God, this is my son whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to the one that he's given all authority to. Transfiguration. Be transformed. How are we to be transformed? By the renewing of our minds. That's what it says. We need our minds renewed. And how do I get our minds renewed so my body will follow? Well, I read the Word of God. I put myself under teaching, so the Word of God is constantly going in me. I feed on the Word of God because the same Holy Spirit that now lives in me is the same Holy Spirit that inspired the prophets and the apostles to write this book. And as you read as a believer, that Holy Spirit in you now illuminates God's will in your life. So you know what is good, true, and beautiful in every area of life to glorify God. How are you supposed to be transformed? You need the Bible. You need the Word of God. You need to read it. You need to be illuminated daily. There's a lot of good teachings on that. I wish I could go farther into it, but this is to give you a big picture. Because if you do those three things, it'll lead you to this fourth one, to be able to accomplish it. And the fourth point is giving my will to line up with God's will in worship. And that's why it says this, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, here's that word will. And this is the whole thing to get the inner man that we're talking about. To get that inner man to actually get the body to move, to train the mind, to help him. We need the will to be willed. You've heard that saying, that's a strong-willed person, right? Yeah, we're all strong-willed. We are all strong-willed. We pride ourselves on having our own will, doing our own thing, and not being pushed around of what I want to do. But if you follow God, there will be a great humbling inside. And then when you come to this question, what is the will of God for my life? You'll start to go, you know, my life is pretty good according to the Word of God. What is the will of God today? And how do I live that out? Remember what Deuteronomy 29:29 says. The secret things belong to the Lord. The secret things. My will for my life. Those things belong to the Lord. Remember that. But this is what the verse says. But the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the word of the law. The secret things belong to God, but the word of God belongs to us to do his will. Do these three things, and your will be able to, and your mind and your heart will be able to test the spirits, test every situation, test yourself to know right, good, and beautiful according to God's will. You will align with God and become, and the secret things that you're wondering about your life, like I go to school, who I marry, will actually flesh themselves out in real time. Know God by worshiping him with your heart based in the gospel, your body presented to God, your mind transformed by the world, and then the will of God will become perfectly planned out for your life. It's that simple, right? Is it? Yes, it is that simple, but it does take something from you. Your will. Will you? God has given you everything. How far and how much do you not realize, or do you realize what God has given us? We do not count the praises we can sing out every day. That liturgy we did today, talking about God, my soul, bless God, right? Referring to that song, 10,000 reasons. 10,000 reasons we should be laying out our lives in praises of why I can give my life to God. He's given me life. He's given me a family. He's given me a job. And the greatest thing of all he's given me is Christ himself, his only son, for eternal life. Are you kidding? And we still want to do this? It should be this. Praise God all the time. Whatever I have is yours. All of it. So I've been battling these questions for far too long in my Christian life. Far too long. I don't know if it's ever going to go away. Because it's just one of those things. I am chapter 7 of Romans. Why do I do the things I don't want to do, but I do the things I don't want to do? It's like, man, a Dr. Seuss all of a sudden came in here and started writing? I've been a reluctant servant for way too many times where God has had to bring me down a road of humbling to say, okay, not my will, your will, Lord. When I went to the rescue mission, it was, no, I will not go. Because I wanted to be a teacher. I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And I started applying, trying to push open doors. And all of a sudden, this little door opened for me to minister to addicts and homelessness. And I remember when I first sat down in my first Bible study and I opened up the Word of God, and all of a sudden I started connecting with these men and they understood truth. And I was like, wow, I'm communicating something here. These people understand. And the will of God was being folded out in front of me. And then I did that for 10 years, ministering to men at the rescue mission. And it was amazing. I have amazing stories of watching God work in men's lives. And then I went through another desert time. And I was like, I want to be a teacher again. And I find myself actually becoming a teacher at a private school for a year. And I taught junior high. And guess what? I found out those junior hires are like little gremlins they eat after midnight. And I couldn't hang. It was the worst year of my life because I was pushing my will. And it brought me to a great humbling where God said, hey, Tim, follow this direction. As my friend invited me to the pro-life movement. And I work for survivors. Survivors came at a great humbling price for myself. And I am blown away because I've been struggling lately just because I've been on this donation. Like, that's all I'm doing is trying to raise my full fund so I could get back into mission field. And we had a retreat the other day, a team building thing with this guy named Scott Horde. And this guy came in and just poured into us. And we just realized we need to get back in the field. I just need to get in there at ministry. So October 31st, I am done. I'm going back in the field even though I'm not fully funded. And so we went, what we did is this team building thing, he looked at us, this guy Scott Horde, he goes, "You guys are all dried up." My whole team was. "You got to get in the field. This is what God has designed you for. We're going down to San Bernardino. We're going in front of the abortion clinic tomorrow." And so we went down there, and it was amazing to see the light come into all my team. Can you put the slide up? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you to go. Yeah, there you go. There's a part of my team. And we went down to this Planned Parenthood, which kills babies daily. And hold on a second. Yeah, so that's my team. And we went to that Planned Parenthood, I think it's back there. Yeah, next one, please. And this is Scott Horde. First thing, he started just modeling for us how to do. And he was just amazing, just kind of coaching us and pouring into us and saying, "Hey, let's save babies right now." Here he's handing out information. We started handing out information to women that were going, calling them out, calling them over because we couldn't go past the line. Next slide. There's my friend Anna, who I do ministry with. She got to pray with a woman and just ask God. She wasn't there for an abortion, but she was there for lupus or something. But we were also encouraging them not to go to Planned Parenthood. Next slide. There I am. I'm talking to a woman that went in there for contraceptives, and I told her not to give money to Planned Parenthood. There's a place not even a block away that she can go to, the care center. Next slide. Scott Horde called over this homeless guy that was walking past us and asked how we can pray for him. He just had triple bypass surgery, he said, and so we laid hands on him and prayed for him. Next slide. This is my friend Edgar. He was there that day too, but this was 2 days ago. But he went there yesterday. He was so fired up to get back, and this is his home court. This is where he usually does sidewalk counseling. And he went back yesterday, and he was talking to a man and his wife, and the man wanted to have an abortion. And the woman was kind of like, "Oh, whatever he wants." I think there's Mauricio and Anna. Next slide. Well, my friend Edgar talks to them. Next slide. He talks to him, and he takes him to the ultrasound truck that was right down the road. And they went in and got an ultrasound. And as soon as Mauricio saw the heartbeat, guess what happened? Next slide. We saved the baby. They decided, this was yesterday, Edgar was used by God because he used his body to be obedient, to call out to these people and to challenge this man to be a father. And when that man saw the heartbeat, he was like, "No way." And guess what they're going to name the child? Edgar. They said, and she said, "It's meant to be. Thank you, mijo." Next slide. So what I'm doing is I'm actually recruiting, equipping, and deploying students, because we are a youth-based organization, to actually change minds and souls. Next slide. And we do this by pro-life boot camps. We did one this summer. My friend Jeffrey went with me. We drove out there. We had a great time. Next slide. And we taught them classes at the Leadership Institute. And then we, next slide. We went out and applied it. That's what's a great thing about this camp is you just don't go up and have a mountain high experience with God and come back down and lose that fire. You actually stay in the city and you put feet to your faith, and it ignites a fire in these youth to actually want to serve God and do something about abortion. And we do every area of activism. Next slide. And we teach them every area. And this was a campaign last year. This was Beverly Hills. This is some of the things we did. I ended up meeting with the mayor. We found out about the first all-trimester abortion clinic that was coming into California, DuPont. And when I found out about it, my heart broke. We went into Beverly Hills and said, I projected Murder Mill on the building itself. It made my social media page. And it also got wind. It got their attention. And we went to city council meetings. And we talked to the mayor. I got a meeting with the mayor. My bosses were like, "How did you get a meeting with the mayor?" I go, "I don't know. We've been praying." The mayor goes, "Tim, you obviously are in charge of this activity in our city. How do we not have this rally that you've promoted, and we see that lots of people are coming to worship?" I go, "I can't. You've invited the first all-trimester abortion clinic into our state. The Christians are upset. They're praying God will have mercy on your city and our state." He goes, "Okay, well then how do we get you out after?" I go, "I need to know it's not going in." He goes, what if I tell you what you've been doing, it's not going in. All right, why don't you come to my rally and I'll introduce you and you announce that. He's all, I can't do that. He goes, but I tell you what I can do. I'll give you a statement. So on the 29th of July, 2023, we erected a stage. I had a permit to shut down the Wilshire Boulevard, which my bosses were like, how did you do that? I go, I don't know. God is amazing. And what happened is we erected the stage, the band started to play, and all of a sudden, the police didn't show up and 500 to help me shut it down, but 500 people just crashed the Wilshire Boulevard and shut it down. And I got to get up there and make an announcement. I got to say, hey, everybody, I have an announcement. I've been talking to the mayor. I've been talking to the city council. And I get to read you this statement right now. It's supposed to be hushed, but I get to read the statement. This is what it says from the deputy chief. Mr. Clement, due to our conversation the other day, I want to inform you that DuPont will not be moving into 8920 Wilshire Boulevard. The building management has rescinded its lease. Everybody went crazy. They're just cheering. People were crying in the street because they showed up for a protest and it turned into a celebration. And we just wanted to slow it down. And God was so merciful that we shut it down. God shut it down for a whole year and a half now. They still have not been able to move in. It made national news and they're still writing articles about it. God is good. And this is the kind of things that we train the next generation to do, because activism works if you do it in a way that's peaceful protest in every areas of the pro-life movement. Not just one. Next slide. So I'm the outreach director. I'm leading a team. I'm trying to change hearts and minds, trying to raise up a missionary team. Next slide. And I'm saving babies and souls for the Lord. That's my mission. And so I need help. Next slide. If abortion is murder, next slide, we need to act like it. We need to act like it because for far too long we haven't. Next slide. God says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In Psalms, he says, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand for me against those who practice iniquity? And it was Isaiah who said, here am I, send me. And so next slide. So this is me asking God, hey God, this is my provision. This is my mission field. How do I do this? How do I stay out here and save babies? Next slide. And this is you. I'm inviting you to be a part of that, to be a part of my support team. Next slide. And hopefully you're asking God, God, I want to do something about abortion. I want to act like abortion is murder. Hopefully, I could be your missionary, because I can't do it alone, and I don't think missionaries are supposed to do it alone. I think the church is supposed to send. Next slide. So I'm looking for monthly partnership, not just givers, because I do need to stay out there daily. Next slide. And I need to be fully funded by the 31st. Next slide. And these are the needs. I need 2 people at 1,000 a month, and I need 10 people at 100 a month, and everything in between. So, next slide. So there's my information. If you want a card, just come and see me. And next slide. And there's a barcode if you want to go to the page. So I run through that real quick, because I run through it real quick because I don't want to compartmentalize right now, and already some of you are starting to compartmentalize what we're talking about. I'm talking about worship, right? Yeah, give yourself, give to the Lord. But I'm not saying you necessarily have to give to me. That's between you and the Lord. But here's a presentation. And remember, Paul said this. I'm praying for you that you would give, not for me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to be part something bigger, part of something bigger than you, because eternity, we are going to walk into eternity, right, Brandon? We're going to walk into eternity, and we're going to see people that we didn't even know. I told my donors, some of my donors that put me in Beverly Hills and kept me there for a month, we paid $18,000 that month for an activist house. So worth it because of my donors. You know what that did? It saved babies for a year and a half. That means in heaven, when we walk in, what's our treasures? Other people telling us their testimonies for eternity. What are we going to do in heaven? I don't know. We're going to have great conversation with people going, yeah, and we'll be giving high fives, and we'll be grabbing our crowns, giving more high fives, and it's like, giving our crowns, and I'm going to go, yeah, I'm going to put it on my head. Look at my crown's bigger than yours. No. It's going to be like, back down to the feet of Jesus, open hands, thank you, Lord, right? Don't compartmentalize this ask. I'm not selling Amway. I am selling eternal real estate, though. And I thank you for allowing me to preach today. But remember, there's already the Lord's dealing, not on this area, other areas in your life. Remember, I came here to feed you, too. And I'm challenging you as a church. There's areas in your life the Holy Spirit was working just now that you're not giving your body up. And I'm not talking about my mission now. I'm talking about you personally dealing with the Lord in your hearts. Because this is Brandon's heart, that you guys would be the church, that you guys would follow the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, because Christ gave up his for yours. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name. We thank you so much that you are God. Lord, thank you for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us, Lord, our trespasses. Forgive us, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we praise your name. I thank you for these people, and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tim, thank you so much.